Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are jamming with Jason Mefford, where you hear inspiring interviews with some amazing people. Some are famous, some may seem ordinary, and they are all doing extraordinary things to positively change the world. Sometimes it's just you and me having an intimate and authentic conversation about how you can change the world around you and rewrite the story of your life by being more authentic, accepting and loving yourself more, and spreading love to others. Since really, all you need is love. And what the world needs now is love, sweet love. We discuss all aspects of self-improvement, growth, and so much more. Great content, insightful advice that's practical and helpful to anyone that listens. You're always eager to come back for more and share with your friends and family, since you learn something in every episode. So sit back and enjoy the easy listening while you feel seen and heard in this informative, authentic, and entertaining podcast. Now, let's roll that beautiful podcast footage. And we are live. So today we're going to talk about the land of white bread. We're going to talk about bread, and maybe we're going to talk about some other things as well, because if you've been following me for a while, you know that what I'm talking about is sometimes not exactly what I'm talking about, or there's more to it than that. So let's talk a little bit about the land of white bread, about bread in general. And why are we talking about that? Well, there's several different reasons that you're going to hear as we go through the video. One of which is, you know, again, a lot of people are being gluten-free now and are not eating bread, which makes me kind of wonder, you know, it's like if this is a life staple that we've been eating for millions of years as humans, why now decide not to eat it? Right? If it's been sustaining human life for millions of years, why are we choosing to be gluten-free and actually not eat bread? And maybe it has nothing to do with bread, but maybe instead it has something to do with the bread that you are eating. Okay. Now, this is a live video. Hey, Cabral, you're on listening to me right now. Look at that. So I'm just to give a little preface here at the beginning too, is I'm going to be doing more live videos. And so again, you can see them if you're on social media, you can see them come through on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, places like that in different places. But some of these I'm actually going to turn into podcasts as well. So I could have started off saying, hey, welcome to another episode of Jamming with Jason. Because this is probably going to be one that'll be air as a podcast as well. So if you're watching me live, thanks. Go ahead and hit me up in the comments so that I know that you're here. Because I don't know if you're here unless you let me know you're here. But that way you can actually participate a little bit in the discussion if you want to. And we can make it a little bit more interactive that way as well. Okay. Now, so yeah, I want to talk about bread for a little while, because I did a little video recently called Food That Isn't Food, right? Because I think a lot of times we're consuming things that we don't actually realize that we're consuming. Or we're choosing not to consume certain things because we're told they're bad. They're bad for you, right? And so I was thinking about bread, and I think bread is one of those things that gets a bad name. So I'm here to stand up for bread because I eat bread, but I'm not telling you to eat bread either. Okay. I'm just going to share some information with you and talk a little bit about it. And there's a couple of stories that I want to share as well. So the first story is when I was a little kid. So when I grew up, we didn't have a lot of money. It was, you know, most of the times that I remember, the late 70s were a very hard time in the building industry and in the economy in general. And so my family was caught up in that. We didn't have a lot of money. There were some things that were going on. And so we made do with a lot of the things we would do for ourselves. And so one example, you know, of that was we made our own bread at home. So my parents would buy large bags of wheat. We would actually grind our own wheat. We had a wheat grinder. I remember, still remember the sound of it, you know, waking up in the morning and my dad would be using this electric grinder to grind the wheat into flour. And then he would use the flour to make pancakes. So we had whole wheat pancakes. And my mom would use the whole wheat flour to make bread. Now, at the time, as a kid, I thought it was because we were poor. And because we were poor, you know, we couldn't afford to buy the fancy bread from the store. And so, you know, for a while, I actually kind of struggled with that, you know, because I thought, man, you know, here I am. I guess we're poor. I'd go to school with my little brown bag, right? I didn't, you know, that I had to fold up and bring back home with me and use many, many days, which, oh, that was so embarrassing too. But that's a story for another day. But, you know, at school, you know, we'd all sit down and we'd have our lunch together. And so I'd pull out my sandwich and my sandwich was on homemade wheat bread. And as a kid, I didn't really understand. And I was kind of jealous, I guess that's probably the right word. I was jealous. I was a little embarrassed that I didn't have the nice, white, fluffy Wonder Bread that my friends had in their lunches. You know, and if you've had Wonder Bread, you know, it's soft, it's supple. In fact, like it sticks to the top of your mouth a lot of times. And I always used to kind of envy the kids who had that and thought, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me for having this homemade whole wheat bread. Now, since I've gotten older, I've realized, guess what? That homemade wheat bread that was probably organically grown, potentially as well, was a much better bread for my body than what my friends were consuming, okay? And so, you know, again, when I got out of the house, I started buying my own bread, right? Buying bread. And so I would choose to buy a lot of times that kind of bread, Wonder Bread or something that was, you know, the white bread, the nice tasty stuff, right? And as I've gotten older, I've done a little bit more research into bread, about what's in it. I mean, I worked for some food companies for a while. And it's one of those things that I think we don't realize what's actually in the bread that we are eating, okay? Or the lack of what's in the bread that we are eating as well, that could be leading to some of the health issues that people have and this kind of knee-jerk reaction to say, oh, well, I'm just going to be gluten-free then because, you know, I can't handle it. And so let's talk a little bit about some of that. So, you know, one of the first things is, you know, if you take a look at the label of bread, you're going to be surprised at what actually is in that loaf of bread, okay? Now, you know, I know Subway a while ago, they got some bad press for, you know, I guess one of the ingredients in their bread was the same ingredient that was found in yoga mats. And so people were saying, oh, you're just eating yoga mats if you're eating, say, Subway bread. It's not quite like that exactly. But just for kicks and giggles, you know, if you want to carry your phone with you and go into the kitchen or do it after you watch the video, but look at the ingredients that are in your bread. And again, depending on what kind of bread that you choose to buy is going to be some different ingredients. But I want to talk about a few ingredients that are found in most bread. Now, again, when we think about bread, it's usually like some sort of leavening agent, right? So either yeast or baking soda or sourdough that usually helps the bread to rise so it gets kind of fluffy. You know, there's usually flour, there's water, salt, you know, that's kind of like the basic ingredients for bread, okay? But I bet you'll be surprised when you look at the ingredients on your bread bag and find out that there's a lot of other stuff in there that you didn't realize was actually there, okay? One of those things is probably high fructose corn syrup or some sort of sweetener like sugar. And most of the time, it's probably going to be high fructose corn syrup because it's cheap. It's cheap for companies to put in there, but it's actually not very healthy for our bodies. We have a hard time digesting it in general. And again, the food companies will tell you that that's not true, but you can go do your own research and find out information about high fructose corn syrup. I've done my research. I choose to avoid that at all costs. Okay, for the most part. So you're probably going to see that there's some sort of sweetener in your bread. Now, did you realize there was sweetener in your bread? Probably not, but it makes it taste good, right? And so we don't realize it, but we're consuming it. So did you realize you were probably consuming sugar as part of your bread? Now, again, hey, I like to put butter, jam, Nutella, other kinds of good sweet stuff on my bread, but I didn't necessarily think about there being sugar in the bread. And in fact, there's sugar in almost everything that is processed food, and you probably didn't realize it. But now you can start looking at the ingredients more and actually seeing what's there. So high fructose corn syrup is probably going to be in there. Now, another one is enriched bleached flour, okay? Now, most flour that's in bread is not whole wheat. And so I'll just kind of explain quickly. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a dietitian. This is kind of a layman's term for this. But whole wheat is the whole husk, the whole kernel that has been ground up. So the outside shell, as well as the internal part of it, is included there. Now, there's a reason nature has it that way, because there's nutrition in both the hull and the center part. But having the hull in it makes it a little bit more gritty, is not the right word. But so because of that, most people that are making bread will take it out or will use a flour that is not a whole wheat flour. And so in this video, I'll talk about, like, you know, in some of the other ones of, hey, you know, maybe you can make better choices, right? And so there's an example of where buying a bread that is whole wheat is better than one that is not whole wheat. And how do you know? Well, just it's going to tell you in the label, okay? And there's a reason. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, talking about the whole wheat, the husk, and everything, and why that usually is actually better for us in our bodies. But like I said, you're probably going to find that enriched bleached flour is in it. So what they do is they take the husk off of the wheat, they grind it up, they bleach it, so they make it white, right? Because people want white bread for some reason in our country. It's the land of white bread. We want white bread, right? And so they bleach it, but then they put that little word enriched at the beginning of it. So what they're doing is they're taking something from nature. They are taking the husk off of it. They're bleaching it, but then they're adding back. They're enriching it with certain things that are not found in it in nature. Now, I wonder what they're enriching into the flour. I don't know. It's a general term. But if you look at that too, enriched, bleached flour, you skip over the middle, right? Have you ever questioned, I wonder how they bleach flour and why they do that? And does that leave any bleach left in my bread? because, you know, again, if you think about how do you bleach things, what do you use? Usually it's chlorine bleach. And again, there's different bleaching agents that they can use, but chlorine bleach is cheap. And again, you know, the food companies might say, oh, well, there's no trace residue on it. Well, I don't know. You know, again, if you go put some of your food and pour chlorine bleach over it, and then you take the bleach off and you wash it a little bit, don't you assume that part of that bleach is still going to be in whatever the food was? So maybe there's some bleach in your flour. And again, this is just my own personal opinion. You can do your own research. The companies that are selling you the bread are going to tell you a different story because they're trying to sell you bread. But I wonder if there might be some bleach in that bread as well. So did you know you might be eating some sugar? That you might be eating some bleach? Now, let's talk about whole grain a little bit too. And again, as I told you at the beginning, we're talking about bread, but we're not talking about bread as well. Okay. Now, I told you that whole wheat includes the husk as well as kind of the soft center part of the grain, right? And so I want to tell you a little story that doesn't have to do with bread, but it has to do with this concept of whole wheat versus not whole wheat, okay? And so if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I grew up Mormon. I was raised as a Mormon. And some of my ancestors were actually those Mormons that moved across the country to Utah. You know, they had their wagons or hand carts or other stuff. They had to pack up from the Midwest and literally walk across the country to Utah. And they encountered a lot of, I mean, again, imagine if you were to walk from Missouri to Utah. And if the weather's bad, there's parts of that where there's really nothing there. And so they had to kind of carry their own food with them. And so we got told stories about the pioneers. That's what we called them, the people that came across the country to Utah. And so one of the stories that I remember very well was it was a man who was a leader in the church. His name was Parley P. Pratt. Okay. And so Parley P. Pratt was one of the people, he and his family, who were in this group of people that migrated out to Utah. And so Parley, you know, thought he was being a good father. And so what he did was, as they were going out, they took potatoes with them. Okay, potatoes, again, it's a good source of food. It's a way that you can kind of store it. And so it was something that they could carry with them and across the plains. And so being the good father, Parley had this idea. He said, you know, we don't have very much food left. And so what we'll do is we'll peel the potatoes and I'll give the inside of the potato to my family, right? To my wife, to my kids, and I'll just eat the peels. As the dad, he felt like he was kind of taking on this sacrifice, maybe you could say, of, look, you guys eat the good part of the potatoes, I'll just have the potato peels, what was left over, right? And so that went on for a little while, you know, where he was feeding the rest of his family just the inside of the potato, he was eating the peels. And guess what happened? The rest of his family died of malnutrition and Parley lived. Interesting. He was eating the peels. They were eating the middle. Now, I've come to learn that this is true in a lot of food, but the rind, the peel, the outside of whatever the food is that's grown in nature has a lot of nutrients. In fact, often there's more nutrients actually in the peel or in the rind than there actually is in the center part. So back to bread. If you're taking off the husk, don't you think there's probably a reason why nature put a husk on that grain? There probably is. And it's probably a good idea to consume that with the rest of the wheat, right? So whole wheat, whole grain is probably a better option than one that doesn't have the husk, okay? Now, again, you make your own decision. But again, if you go out and do some research, I think you're going to find that most people agree that whole wheat is better than not whole wheat, okay? Now, there's more than just wheat that you can use to make bread, right? There's other grains. There's buckwheat. There's barley. There's rye. There's oats. There's a lot of other things besides wheat that you can actually use to make bread. And in fact, there's more than one way that you can make bread, right? So I told you my mom used to make whole wheat bread. And so she would use yeast to be able to raise it. So you can use yeast as the agent to raise the bread. Or you can also use something called sourdough, which is effectively, you know, kind of this, I don't know if the right term is bacteria, but it's little things that are kind of growing like the yeast that helps the bread to rise, okay? And again, from some of the research that I've done, what I'm choosing to do is we make our own bread in my house, and we're using sourdough as the leavening agent. We use sourdough and baking soda to be able to make the bread. And in fact, the bread that we're making, we know exactly what's going into it because we're buying the whole grain flours, and we're using, you know, sometimes wheat, sometimes barley, sometimes rye, sometimes buckwheat, sometimes, you know, lots of different things that our body needs. And we know exactly what goes into that bread because we're making it, right? And so again, if you're relying on the packaging, again, hopefully they're being truthful to you in telling you what's in there. But again, if you look at the ingredients of a lot of foods, there's going to be words that you can't even pronounce. And you're wondering, why is this even in there? Okay. So just for you to start kind of thinking a little bit more about that, because the reality is, you know, most of us just believe what we're told, or most of us choose to ignore often things that are right under our nose. They're right under our nose, okay? And so again, take the bread as an example. You go to the grocery store, you see the fancy packaging or whatever that it might be there, you buy a bread. Do you look at the ingredients before you actually eat the bread, or before you even buy the bread, right? I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but again, what's right in front of you, you know, do you actually realize what you're consuming? What's actually in your food? Are you reading the labels before you're just putting it in your mouth, right? Because a lot of the things that are used to preserve food, a lot of the things that are used to kind of make food taste better, and again, that's a preference, are maybe some things that our body doesn't need. And so again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a dietitian, I'm not providing any kind of medical advice, but you know, some of you out there might be gluten-free and staying away from grains completely. I don't know if that's the right choice. It's not the right choice for me, you know, and again, you have to make your own decision, but maybe it's not an issue with the gluten or with bread itself, but in the bread that you're actually eating, right? Because if you're eating something that has a lot of preservatives, that has a lot of salt, that has, you know, sweeteners like high fructose corn syrup in it, you know, that has things that are bleached or other stuff, is that the best way to kind of treat your body to be able to get the nutrition that you actually need in your body? And so what I will tell you is the fresher you can eat, meaning, right, instead of a canned vegetable, actually eating a raw vegetable from the produce area, that's a better choice, right? If you can choose between eating something fresh or something that's canned, fresh is probably better. If you can't have fresh, but you can have frozen, frozen's probably not as good as fresh, but frozen is probably better than canned, right? Because again, the different preservatives and processes and things that have to go through in order to be able to put it in a can so it can sit on a shelf. Now, and again, a lot of times in the processing phase, it actually kills the good things that nature provides. And so I'll give you another example. I'm lactose intolerant, or have been, right? Which means, you know, if I eat dairy products, I usually have some issues down below, right? Gas, diarrhea, other stuff, right? Now, again, it's not a problem of the milk. I grew up on raw milk, okay? The issue is pasteurization. So in milk, it's usually cooked so it can kill any of the bad things so that milk can stay in the jar and last for longer. Now, in killing the bad things, you're also killing the good things, because that's what happens. That lactase enzyme actually gets killed during the pasteurization process. So I don't have any problem with raw cheese, with raw milk, anything like that. It's only when it's been processed, because something in nature has been killed. Okay. And so that's why, again, when I did that video before on, you know, food that's not food, unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that we're eating is not natural. It's not natural. It's been chemically altered. It's been killed. It's been preserved. There's a bunch of other stuff that's been added to it as well. And so, again, I'm not here to tell you how to eat. I'm here to try to help you make some better choices and actually think about what you're doing. And realize that, again, a lot of times the people that are selling you these things don't want to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because you wouldn't buy their product, right? And so, again, if they've got something to hide, well, maybe you should find out what that is, or maybe you should do something different. I don't know, right? But that's why, again, I choose in my life to control as much of the production process as I can. I like taking things in their natural state. In fact, guess what? I grind some of my own grains as well, right? Just like I used to think, oh, it's because my parents were poor. Well, maybe that was part of the reason, but it's actually a lot more nutritious as well. And so again, just some things for you to think about, not trying to tell you how to do anything, but just getting you to start questioning and thinking about things. Because, you know, the reality is a lot of what we are told in this life is lies. There are things that are not true. There are things that are meant to control us. There are things that are meant to keep us asleep. There are things that are meant to make us sick, right? I mean, what a great model this is if you sell people food that isn't food, and then you have to sell them pharmaceuticals to try to correct what it was that was the food in the first place, right? Great business model. And I'm not saying anything. I'm just, isn't that interesting to think about if that could be the case? And just want you to start thinking too. Start questioning. Don't believe me either, right? Don't believe me. Come up with your own conclusion after you've done your own research, after you've checked in with yourself. You know, because again, you might be a person that's sitting out there and saying, nope, I don't believe you, Jason. I'm still not gonna do bread. I'm gonna be gluten-free. Fine. It's up to you. It's your choice on what you want to do, right? I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to have you make sure that the choices that you're making are actually your choices, right? That you're consciously choosing to do or not do whatever you want to do in life. Because the reality is most people are living in the matrix. And so if you've ever seen that movie, Red Pill, Blue Pill, right? Most people are taking the blue pill. They're staying asleep. They're believing everything that's being told to them, right? So they can stay in that safe little cocoon bubble, liquid, whatever it is that they're floating in, right? And, you know, the older I get, the more I see The Matrix as a documentary, not as a science fiction movie. But hey, that's just me. You know, believe me, don't believe me, I don't care. I'm just here to provide information about what I'm doing, what I've kind of come up with, and kind of why I'm doing that as well. So if you're like me and you decide you want to change your life, if you want to not see things the way everybody else tells you that they're supposed to be, good on you, right? Again, if you want to go along with and just believe everything that everybody tells you, that's fine too, right? But again, hopefully, you know, again, as you listen, that your mind will open, that you'll be more open and realize that, you know what, the more we learn, the more we realize we know nothing, that we know nothing, right? Because it's the people who get stuck in the middle and who feel like they know everything, they get stuck in their ego and their world doesn't change. And they just believe what people, what they want to believe, or believe what other people want them to believe. And ultimately, that's not a real life. That's not really living. That's just existing. Okay. So if anybody's on, if any comments come through here, like I said, I can't see, you know, who's everywhere, or if you have any questions. But, you know, again, hopefully this is helpful for you to realize and just start thinking about things a little bit different. And if you've avoided bread because you believe that everybody, you know, out there saying, oh, we can't eat bread now, it's not good for you, I don't know, maybe it's good for you. It's good for me. I like my bread every so often. And like I said, we're making our own bread, eating our own bread, and there's actually a lot of satisfaction in that as well, to know exactly what it is that you're getting. But there's also a kind of a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. And I'll give you an example of that. My dad was a contractor. So he built houses for a living. And I remember we would drive around in our hometown, and every so often he'd say, yeah, I built that house over there, right? There's a lot of satisfaction in doing things with your hands and in seeing a tangible result, right? And I know a lot in my profession, a lot of what I do is kind of intangible, intellectual property, intangible, videos, other, you know, courses, other things, right, that I write or that I do. And sometimes there's not as much satisfaction in that, or just like, you know, going to the grocery store and buying a loaf of bread. Well, there's a lot more satisfaction in actually making your own bread than there is in just going and buying it. Now, again, I understand a lot of people would say, hey, well, I don't need to worry about that because, you know, I make all this money and somebody else should be making my bread. And my time is better spent, you know, making money. Okay, if you want to believe that, then that's fine. But I've found a lot of satisfaction in actually doing more things for myself and kind of controlling the whole process. And like I said, I found satisfaction in that, and some of you might as well. So if that's your game or your shtick, or you want to try it, then maybe start seeing how you could do some of that, those things as well. So with that, I'm going to sign off for now, and I'll catch you on the next live. Have a great rest of your day and week.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening. The fact that you listened to this entire episode means you got value and others will too. Do me a favor and leave a 5-star review with comments, and then share with others. You can also check out all of my videos on my YouTube channel and my website, jasonmefford.com. This podcast is primarily for education and commentary and does not represent professional advice. Views and opinions expressed on this show are that of the individuals and not of their respective organizations.